Outcome 2.5 says, apply biblically ethical principles to relationships with the congregation. Our Bible reading is taken from Colossians 1, 9-10, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3, and Philippians 1, 27a. Sadly, every now and then we read of a pastor or church leader who has acted unethically with someone or some people in the congregation. These actions are often, but not exclusively, related to sexual misdemeanors. The result, if and when this is discovered, is scandal, heartache, broken marriages, etc., and the church is left to pick up the pieces. Its witness to the community is severely damaged. Pastors and church leaders need to be especially careful when relating to members of the opposite sex. Colossians 1, 9-10 says, "And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3 says, "We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry." And Philippians 1:27a says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." The National Association of Evangelicals published a code of ethics for pastors, which contains valuable guidelines to help you and your students. Here is a summary of the main points. 1. Pursue integrity. 1 Chronicles 29:17 says, "I know, my God, that you test my heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent." In personal character, in personal care, in preaching and teaching. Secondly, be trustworthy. It is required, according to 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2, that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful in leadership, with information, with resources. Thirdly, seek purity. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity, 1 Timothy 4:12, in maintaining sexual purity, in spiritual formation, in theology, and in professional practice. Fourthly, embrace accountability. 1 Peter 5:2-3 says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock in finances, in ministry responsibilities, and in a denomination or a ministry organization." Next, facilitate fairness. Believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, says James 2:1-4, and a poor man in filthy old clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? With staff, with parishioners, with the community, with a prior congregation. You're encouraged to read the full document at the website listed in your notes. Dear facilitator, pastors sometimes find themselves in very difficult circumstances when it comes to relationships with their members, especially those of the opposite sex. please emphasize the seriousness of this outcome.